Father, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for your desire to use us and for us to be a part of your ministry. As we study your word, open our hearts and our minds. Let the words that are spoken be yours, and let us hear from you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Have any puzzle workers in this group? You know, the thing about a puzzle is, how satisfying is it if you're missing a piece? How many of you have torn the house apart, swept the floor, looking for that one missing piece? You can see almost everything, but one piece is missing. You are a piece of God's puzzle. Josh McDowell tells a story about this headhunter, this person who goes out and hires executives from other places. And he talks about how he likes to disarm these people, to really find out who they are. And he says, the first thing I do is I take my coat off, I loosen my tie, I prop my feet up on the desk, and I get them talking about what's important to them. Whether it's their family, whether it's sports, whatever it is, I want to get to who they are, past the wall that they put up, the facade that they try to show. And he said, this one guy, I was had him loosened up. He said, I had my feet up on the desk. I was talking to him about football. And he says, as I did with every other one, when I got them loosened up, I would lean in, look them in the eyes and say, what is your purpose in life? He said, this guy, without blinking an eye, leaned back and he said, I want to go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can. He said, I was blown away. Because this guy knew what his purpose in the puzzle was. As we, over the next few weeks, are going to take a look at Jesus' disciples, the 12 of them, this group he assembled of misfits, of the most unlikely characters, we're going to take a look at them. And I bet that you can find yourself relating to one of them. The purpose is for us to see how God used them, so that we can see even greater of how God wants to use us. So turn with me to Luke chapter 4. I want to give us some background for this study and some setup as Jesus is preparing to call his disciples. He has been baptized. He has spent 40 days in the desert being tested. And we're going to pick up the story at Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports of him spread quickly throughout the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Verse 16, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood to read the scripture. Verse 17, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. Verse 19, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by his gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be, they asked. Isn't this Joseph's son? Verse 28. When they heard this, I want to stop there for a minute. They're amazed by this person who they know. That's the carpenter's kid. That's Jesus. But then, as he's talking and what they're hearing from him, they're beginning to get upset. Because it sounds like blasphemy. Now, I don't want to defend them, but imagine if someone walked in here and said, I'm God. Okay? So, I want us to understand the timing, the environment that is taking place where Jesus is starting his ministry. There are people who are unsure. There are people who are amazed by what he's saying. There are people who are upset by what he's saying. And look at verse 28, because when they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. They jumped up, they mobbed him, and then forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him off the cliff. But he passed through the crowd and went on his way. They were ready to get rid of him. Okay? They were going to push him off the cliff. Because this person they knew, how can he proclaim this? So this environment is topsy-turvy at this point. And so look with me at verse 38. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus has left Nazareth and he's gone to Capernaum. Verse 38. After leaving the synagogue that day, Jesus went to the home of Simon, where he found Simon's mother-in-law very sick with a high fever. Please heal her, everyone begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever. And it left her, and she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. Now, this is probably one of the first encounters that Simon has with Jesus. We're going to look a lot more at the interaction with these two and how it changed Peter's life. When we come to him, we're going to take each disciple, we're going to look at them intently. But this is one of his first encounters. His mother-in-law is about to die, and Jesus heals her. And she gets up and starts waiting on them. Imagine if you're Peter in those circumstances. If Jesus walks into the hospital room and heals your loved one. Imagine how it would change you. So as the next few days, Jesus is in this town, he's preaching and teaching, and he's forming his team. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, just a few chapters over. Verse 12. One day, soon afterwards, Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all his disciples, and he chose 12 of them to be apostles. And here are their names: Simon, who he named Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, Judas, and Judas. Now, here's a pop quiz for you. Could anybody name all 12 without looking? I bet you can't. We're going to take a look at these guys, this foundation of the church. All but one of them met death in a profound way because of the choices they made this day to be a close acquaintance of Jesus, to fulfill the piece of the puzzle that He laid out for them. You and I are a piece of the puzzle. If you've accepted Christ, you are a valuable part of this puzzle God is working. And do you know He can't finish it without you? He's got things just for you. So as we think about being disciples and finding our place and this foundation as we look at God's 12 over the next few weeks, there's a couple of things I want you to walk away with. Number one, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. Just like every piece of every puzzle has a purpose. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off the branches of mine that don't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. He has already been pruning and purifying by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For the branches cannot produce fruit by itself if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, a lot of people say they want to serve God. Most of them want to be advisors. God doesn't need any advisors. It's like the story I read about during the Revolutionary War. A man in civilian clothes was riding past a group of army men who were repairing a defensive wall, and their leader was barking orders and screaming at them, but he wasn't helping them. And this man on this horse stopped and he asked the leader, "Why aren't you helping them?" And this leader welled up with pride and he said, "I am a corporal." And the guy on the horse said, "I apologize." He got off the horse. He helped the men fix the wall. And when they were done, he looked at the corporal and he said, "Sir, the next time you have a job that you don't have enough men and you need help, go see your commanding officer and I will come help you." And George Washington got on his horse and kept going. You see, every person has a purpose in this puzzle. And if you aren't doing your purpose, it's not complete. There's a missing link. The second thing I want you to understand and grasp is that you and I have to grow. We have to become more useful. We have to keep focused and increase our knowledge in Christ so that we can be more useful to Him. I want to illustrate this to you, and I'm going to get in so much trouble. Misty, come up here for a minute. I didn't tell her about this ahead of time because she's going to be so mad at me. I'm going to need a ride home, y'all. Okay? And then, after this illustration, the elders are going to fire me, so I'm going to need lunch money too, okay? A few months ago, we were preparing to marry off our son. And they were talking about the wedding and the reception, and Misty decided, in talking to Grant, that we needed to take dancing lessons. And so we started taking ballroom dancing classes. I'm not looking at her. I can't imagine what her face looks like, okay? So back in October, we went to dance class for the first time. I want to show you something. Let's do a waltz, just the box, okay? Just the box. You ready? You gonna count it?
No.
All right. That took us 45 minutes. That was our entire first class. Okay? To get whose arm goes where, whose feet goes where, who's not looking at their feet, who's not looking at each other. This coordination between two people who have known each other for 35 years. Thank you. I wish y'all could have seen that look. I'm in so much trouble. Here's the point, okay? We can do so much more 6 months later because every Friday night your Baptist preacher goes to dance in class to grow. The problem with us as Christians is we accept Christ, we pray the prayer, we say I'm sold out, and then I'm done. I don't have to do anything else, right? I don't need to know all the disciples' names. I don't even need to know where they're mentioned in the Bible. I'm not even sure where my Bible is. What you saw us do that took us 45 minutes, there's not a lot to that. And that's not very useful. We just made a box. Now we can do a lot more. And you and I, when we sell out and we focus on understanding how important we are as a piece of the puzzle and growing in that place to do more, because remember, you have a purpose and you need to grow. The last thing is this: being used by God is not a weekly event. It's not showing up at church on Sunday. Being used by God is a daily event. It's moment by moment. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. When you produce, verse 8, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. You get that? When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my God, my Father. When you produce much fruit. You get it? This is not something we just show up on occasion when we get ready, when it's convenient. Serving God, there's a price. There's a cost. It is not a part of your life. It is your life. You will never see Mrs. McConnell and I on Dancing with the Stars. We're never going to be that good. Because it is not our life. You get that? But serving God should be our life. And we should be spectacular at it and growing in it every single day. Turn with me over to Acts, because there's a funny story here I want to share with you. Acts chapter 1. Jesus has been resurrected. He has spent time with His disciples. He has given them their marching orders, which is the same marching orders He gave to you and I, which is, go and make disciples. And then He is taken up to heaven. And look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After this, He was taken up into the clouds while they were watching, and they could no longer see Him. As they strained to see Him rise into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Verse 11. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring at heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, and someday He will return from heaven in the same way you saw Him go. Why are you standing here staring into heaven? You know what the angels are asking them? Why aren't you doing what He told you to do? Go. You're just standing here. How many of you are just standing here? I mean, you go through life. You get up. You might read your Bible. Maybe I'll pray for a few minutes. And then I got to get to work. I got to get to school. I got to get the kids dressed. I got to get on my way. I got things to do. I got groceries to buy. I got food to cook. I got things to do. And it amounts to the fact that you're just standing here. When you're working a puzzle, how many of you, puzzle workers, and those who are not puzzle workers, how many of you want the box while you're working the puzzle? Why do you want the box? Because the finished product is on the box. Right? I found something interesting this week. It's called the Black Box Puzzle. There's a puzzle in here. It's 1,000 pieces. Do you know what the finished product is? It's not. It's not a black box. From looking at these pieces, there's a scene of some sort because they're all different. It says it's a landscape. Anybody interested in working this puzzle? Because you want to know where you're going before you start. You know why we don't follow Christ many times? Because we want to know where we're going before we start. We want to see the end product. We want to know how things turn out. We want to make sure that this decision is going to be one that we like. But just like this puzzle, God will rarely tell you what the end looks like. You have to start putting the pieces together. And every day of your life is another piece of the puzzle. And it will be something that you didn't expect. But I can guarantee you it will be incredibly beautiful. How many of you at this point in your life have looked back and go, well, I never thought I'd be here. I never thought this story would end up this way. Because the puzzle, we had what we thought it would look like. For those of you who are young in the room, it never turns out like you think it will. That's not a bad thing. But just like this puzzle and following Christ, you have to be willing to put the pieces together and not know where you're going. Otherwise, you're going to get caught like the disciples. And you're going to be asked, why are you standing here staring into heaven? God's got things He wants you to do. And only you can accomplish them because you are a unique piece of God's puzzle. And that translates to every part of your life. One of them is here. If you're a part of this body, you're here for a reason. You know what the statistics they teach you in seminary is? You know what percentage of people in church actually help do the work of the church? What is it, Jody? 20% do 80% of the work. There's a lot of puzzle pieces missing. We start putting the pieces together and then we got to start looking for stuff. Somebody must have fell on the floor. Because let me tell you this with 100% certainty. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, there's a body, this one, for most of us, that you're supposed to be a part of. And if you are a part of this body, you have a purpose that nobody else can accomplish. There are some people who are trying and they aren't very good at it. But because we can't find that puzzle piece that goes in that spot, somebody else has to do it. You are important. Maybe it's in your family, in your home, in your job. God has a plan and a purpose for you because every piece of the puzzle is important, and that includes you. Stand with me and let's close in prayer.